Our special guests this morning are violinist Iggy Jang and conductor Sarah Ioannidis, in town for this weekend's concert with the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra. Make that two concerts, this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and again Sunday at 4 in the afternoon. Good morning, Sarah.
Good Iggy. Morning.
Morning, Jane.
Well, you've broken through the gender barrier, Sarah, but I bet it's still a challenge to get people to pronounce your name correctly.
You're totally right.
Ioannidis. So you're a woman in what used to be exclusively a man's profession, but now you're just one of many. I guess this is the new normal.
Well, things are improving on the scene, but if you'll notice, there's still very few at the top of the ladder for music directors and also guest conductors for major symphony orchestras.
So and things could be a lot better.
Yeah, they could keep moving, and they will, I'm sure.
Was it always your intention to be a conductor, or did you just sort of fall into it?
It was my intention from the age of about 17, 18. And even then, the falling into it, of course, takes a lot of preparation of instrumental studies and conducting studies. So even then, I wasn't sure if it was going to work out. So I kept up my instrumental playing as well.
Is there a difference between a woman and a man in the way they approach this job?
Well, you know, I don't think I've ever had that conversation with a male conductor. Do we approach this differently because of our gender?
It's an interesting question to contemplate.
Of course it is. And women obviously have a different way of being wired, you know. What's that famous book? Men from Mars, women from
Venus.
There you go. Yeah. So I'm sure we bring something slightly different, and that's why the world is an interesting place, because we have two genders and all sorts of other possibilities between the two. So I just do think that the more women conductors there are, the more variety of expression there will be
and
in our music making.
The more the merrier. Right? Mm-hmm. We'll be hearing one of the early Tchaikovsky symphonies, the earliest in fact, number one in G minor, Winter Dreams. This was one of Tchaikovsky's personal favorites.
Yeah, I think this was his biggest challenge. Prior to him, there wasn't really great symphonic music in Russia. I mean, Rubinstein had written a few symphonies, but, you know, not really on the same kind of level of a really Russian piece of music. And so Tchaikovsky fought really, really hard to write this piece of music, and he didn't even think he was going to make it after this journey and battle. I was a very young composer when he made it, and it was, you know, really established, as you heard the opening there, really established a uniquely Russian style. It doesn't sound like German, a copy of a German symphony or Austrian symphony at all. It's purely Russian music. And, of course, following the traditional symphonic structure at that point, but mm-hmm. with beautiful developments. And it is one of my personal favorites as well.
It's one of the few, if not the only, Tchaikovsky symphony to evoke a specific scenario. It's a program symphony in the vein of Beethoven's Pastoral.
Exactly, yeah.
And the second movement, for me anyway, really does evoke the chill of a winter evening.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
We heard a portion of the second movement, the Winter Dreams Symphony by Tchaikovsky. And we're speaking with conductor Sarah Ioannidis, in town to conduct the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra in a performance of Tchaikovsky's Winter Dreams. Sarah, as you said, that oboe theme sounds like a typical Russian folk tune, and this may be the first truly Russian symphony. Rubinstein had written a few symphonies, but they were more cosmopolitan in style.
Indeed, yeah.
There's something else on the program, also very interesting, that you'll be conducting. I believe it'll be a local premiere, a work by Lili Boulanger.
Yes, and this is a very interesting short piece, De Matin de Printemps, The Morning of Spring. It is really exciting and beautiful, lush, impressionistic work. And the great tragedy about this composer and this piece is it was the last piece that this young composer, Lili Boulanger, wrote at the age of 25 when she died shortly after it. And her sister, who was one of the greatest teachers of the last century, Nadia Boulanger, was able to sort of help put some of the final dynamics and editings in the music, but also ceased to compose after her sister passed away, though she became a very important teacher. So these two incredibly talented composers in Paris really had a tragic end. Lili actually won the Prix de Rome of composition and was a great talent at a very early age. And that put her sister in perspective, and she didn't quite develop her talents on account that her sister was so incredibly good as a musician. And that was a challenge for her. But she also wrote some great music, such as the Fantasy for piano and orchestra, which I'm going to be conducting next year.
Oh, here? With the Hawaii Symphony?
No, actually. Not here, but maybe someday.
Okay. How would you classify her music, Lili Boulanger?
Impressionistic, Debussyan. It also has if you know Dukas' Sorcerer's Apprentice, mm-hmm. It is very vivacious, very expressive, and light. And that goes along with her personality as well. She was a very social, energetic person, and the character comes out in her music. It's a light dance kind of music, and it has its tragic moments of beauty and sadness in it. And actually, this was written paired with another piece called A Sad Song. The two are very much linked. But this Morning of Spring is a happy, happy, vivacious moment. I think she truly relished life, and being sick since the age of three with intestinal tuberculosis, Crohn's disease, well, she was able to see the beauty around her and cherish it.
Well, let's hear some of this happy music.
Thank you.
classic of Impressionism by Lili Boulanger, de Matin de Printemps, of a spring morning, which will be receiving its local premiere with the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra this Saturday, 7:30, conducted by Sarah Ioannidis, our special guest here on Morning Cafe. Also, Iggy Jang is here. Well, Iggy, let's talk about you for a change.
All right.
You've chosen to play the Vieuxtemps Violin Concerto No. 5. Now, while it's always interesting to hear a less familiar work of this quality, the question does remain, why the Vieuxtemps No. 5? Are the others not worthy?
They are all worthy, especially, I would say, No. 4. He actually wrote 7. Two of them were published after his death. But memories, I think that's the one word that comes to mind, because when I was younger, in my teens, that's when I started to work on that Concerto No. 5, and it's always stayed with me ever since. You have to know that Vieuxtemps is a very, very, very important figure in violin playing. He was born in Belgium and was very important in the Franco-Belgium school, and had lessons from another important figure, Charles de Berlioz, who most people don't know, but all my students know very well, because he's written a lot of work for students. And one of his most famous students of Vieuxtemps was Isaïe. So Vieuxtemps played a very, very important role in the school of violin technique. He actually also got to meet Paganini later, when Paganini was at the twilight of his career. And Vieuxtemps' work was also performed by Leopold Auer in Russia, where Vieuxtemps was invited to teach at the St. Petersburg Conservatory. And Vieuxtemps was also very famous in the U.S. He came, let's see, that's the 1800s. He had 3 tours in the U.S., and I think the first time he actually wrote some Yankee Doodle variations to please the American audiences. So
he toured with Anton Rubinstein.
And so I heard. So, so a very important figure. I'm not sure if this particular concerto has been performed here with the symphony, but it has a lot of good stuff. It's very accessible. People will enjoy it, I'm sure. A lot of fireworks, a lot of beautiful melodies. But as Wieniawski said, it was never flashy runs just for the sake of showmanship. It was always had a musical intention.
Mm-hmm. The other two great violin virtuosi of that time, and you mentioned one of them, Paganini, the other was Sarasate. Now, the difference was composers would write specifically for Sarasate, while Paganini wrote his own music, intentionally so difficult that no one else at the time could play it but him. Now, Vieuxtemps was also a violinist composer. How does he compare to these two?
Looking at the non-solo violin part, I think for me is what makes him a little different. I think the orchestration and instrumentation of his music is much more palatable and interesting for the orchestra, whereas maybe Paganini, it's just pure devilish showmanship and very little for the orchestra to fall on. You'll see, actually, it has quite a lengthy introduction by the orchestra at the beginning of the concerto, with a lot of substance. You see the thematic material that will be later developed by the violin. So I think there's a richness for me in his music. That's what attracts me.
So Paganini wrote for the violin, whereas Vieuxtemps wrote as a complete composer, both for the violin and orchestra.
Maybe because Paganini wasn't really a pianist, didn't play the piano, but played the guitar, so maybe he wrote for the orchestra like he wrote for the guitar, so without too much harmonic or development care, whereas I think Vieuxtemps had more knowledge of orchestral writing.
Let's hear a little bit from the Vieuxtemps Violin Concerto No. 5.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps things up for the Vieux Temps number 5. And Iggy Jang will be playing the entire concerto, of course, this weekend, Saturday 7:30 and Sunday at 4 p.m. at the Blaisdell Concert Hall, along with the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Sara Ioannidis. Also on the program, the symphonic poem, De Matin de Printemps, by Lily Boulanger, and the Tchaikovsky Symphony No. 1, Winter Dreams, or you say it's Winter Daydreams.
I guess it's been named both by different folks, but we'll have to check.
Well, the music is the same, one way or another, and it should be a beautiful concert. So, Sara and Iggy, it's been a pleasure having you here this morning. We look forward to the concert this weekend.
Thank you.